So holiness, we don't use the term very often these days, I don't think. I guess the general public, we talk about a holy man and we think of perhaps a monk praying, don't we? I thought the most common parlance perhaps is talking about the Pope as his holiness. So it's not a word we use very often, but it's a really important word. And there's the song that we sang just before the sermon was really helpful in these two aspects of holiness, which I want to start off talking about. And it talks about being refined as fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. So there's this one element of being set apart that is part of holiness. And the other next bit is, I choose to be holy, ready to do your will, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. So there's that separation that is part of holiness, but also that readiness to do your will. So that commitment, that focus on God. So I want to talk about those two elements of holiness as we go through this. So examples of being set apart in Exodus 3 verse 5, Moses and the burning bush. God says to Moses, take your shoes off because you're on holy ground, because God was speaking to him at that moment. I'm not sure if taking your shoes off when you go to people's houses is related to that. Hopefully it is. Your holy house is a blessing. So, but just remember next time you go to someone's house about that setting apart of holiness. And there's lots of other examples of things being holy and set apart. In the creation story, God sets apart the seventh day to be holy, different from the other days, and where we focus on God. Ultimately, the only thing that's really, genuinely, completely holy is, of course, God. God's moral excellence and perfection. God alone himself is holy. Now, you'll see from the start of our passage, it starts off, therefore, prepare your minds for action. So that is really important, that holiness is not a passive thing. We have to take action if we are to be holy. I brought along this book of mine that I was given when just before I graduated by my best friend, actually, a guy called Andy Wong. And I just thought I'd read the quote that I've got in there. So he said, he quoted, be holy because I am holy, from 1 Peter 1:15. Of course, the passage that we're reading from today. Dear Jeremy, look out, world, here we come. Praying all God's blessing on you for your future. Thank you for your love and prayers. Love and kisses, your Chinese brother, Andy. And that was 88. And I shared that with him on Facebook. Actually, his brother, his son, because he's not on Facebook. And I got a nice message back. But this was a important. The reason I'm showing it to you is to show you how fat it is. And it was 1869, this was originally written by J.C. Ryle, who was one of the great Victorian Christians. And it's all about holiness and the journey and the challenge of being holy. And it was specifically written at the time to counter one doctrine that had come over from the States and was a big part of the Keswick movement, apparently, but is no longer part of that Keswick movement. But it was a doctrine that said, and this is a bit complicated, but the doctrine that immediate sanctification and holiness can be achieved just as instantaneous justification and conversion are achieved by one decisive act of faith and commitment to Christ. So what does that actually mean? So what it's saying is that there was a doctrine around at the time, and there's still some elements of this that when you become a Christian, when you make that commitment to God, that you are sanctified at that moment. Now, God sees you as pure and holy at that moment because of the sacrifice of Jesus. But it's not a point where you are then holy forever. So we can't rely on that moment in terms of our holiness. And I think we all know this, but there's still an element for me, certainly, where I struggle and I say, well, why, Lord, am I not holier than I am now? And why, Lord, do I have that argument with my wife? And then it takes me till the next morning till I get into work to realise I was wrong. And I have to say sorry. She's jumping up and down the back. So there's this element, and I don't know if you have this voice sometimes saying is, I should be more holy. You know, why haven't I got there yet? there is a reality that we are sanctified through our confession of Christ, through Jesus' blood. We are seen as holy by God, but we are also on a journey of holiness, and we can't expect to be holy straight away. Of course, it says in Romans, Paul talks about battling with his inability to do what he knows is right. So Paul himself battled with temptation. So prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled is the next word. Self-controlled. What does that mean? So this is a really important thing to think about. How self-controlled are you in terms of your journey to be holy? Great definition of self-control in this book. Battling to say no when the world, flesh, and the devil urge you to say yes. When weariness, deadness, and unbelief prompt you to say no. So we are in a spiritual battle, aren't we? We are called to fight the good fight, and self-control is an important part of that. So I'd ask you just to reflect at this moment on your level of self-control in terms of being holy. What are you watching? What are you reading? What are you saying? Are there things that you need to take action on in terms of self-control as part of your journey to holiness? I want to give you one example from our family of if you like, taking action and setting apart. The program Game of Thrones is, Andrew watched one episode of it, and his view was that it wasn't actually going to contribute to our holiness. And as a family, we decided not to watch it. Now, that's not to say that if you do watch it, that's wrong. That's a decision you have to make. But it's just to give an example that sometimes we have to set standards and make points in terms of what we do take into our lives and what we don't take into our lives. So please reflect on that issue of self-control. So I've talked about the importance of holiness in terms of being separate and making decisions where you need to be different. The passage goes on to say, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. So this need for a focus on Jesus is the second and really most important thing about being holy. It goes on, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he has called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And that is a quote from Leviticus. And in that part of Leviticus, there's three statements about be holy because I am holy. Verse 17, since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, give your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. I just want to explore that reverent fear for a moment, because I think I'm guilty of sometimes being too easily accepting of what God has done for me and not sufficiently aware of God's holiness. And that reverent fear is something that we need to recover at times and recognize how holy God is and how offensive our sinful behavior is. Goes on to say, you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Jesus was holy. He was our example. He was without blemish or defect. But he also chose to do what God had called him. So he was holy and separate, but he also chose to do what God had called him. And we know that it's through that sacrifice that we are made holy before God. So when we accept that sacrifice, God sees us as clean, despite all the things that we're doing wrong. And Andy articulated that last week and said again, if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus, then do speak to somebody afterwards. We'd love to pray with you. When we go out on the streets, and I want to talk about this for a moment. Yesterday we went out on the streets. I want to say thank you to Judith and Chris, who came out on the streets with us for the first time. And there's a great number of people came from the gate as well, and we worshipped here. Jackie did coffee for us, and Margaret led prayer, and Linda led worship. And we probably prayed for 20, 25 people, and I personally prayed for about 5 people, and about exactly 12 people went through the whole process and said the prayer of commitment. 12 people. And they left their details so we could follow up on them. Now, I have to tell you, folks, that is the most impactful thing I've done in 20 years in terms of outreach. That is fantastic. Now, we know that all those 12 people are not going to come along to church, but my prayer and my hope and my expectation is that before Christmas, we will have somebody up here who will give a testimony of how they've come into the church family, come to faith through this witness. So there will be other opportunities to be involved in this, and I would encourage you, in whatever way you want to be involved, to engage on this opportunity. It is so exciting, and we've sung of our hope, our excitement, and we want to do this out of joy, out of our desire to share this faith that we have with other people. Judith made the point that so many of the people that we prayed for were so needy and had such big issues going on in their lives. And just the fact that we're able to pray for people on the streets is fantastic. So don't miss out, folks. It's a fantastic opportunity to be involved in kingdom work. Okay, verse 21. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Verse 22, now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so you have sincere love for your brothers. So the point I want to make here is that through being holy and purified, we then are able to love each other more effectively. So I think if I'm more holy, I think I'm easier to be loved. Do you think so? Well, I reckon so. So actually, if we strive to be holy with each other, we're going to be more easily able to love each other, aren't we? So now that you've purified yourself by obeying the truth, so you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, to the living and enduring word of God. It then goes on to quote Isaiah 40, verse 6 to 8. So all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. So I've challenged you to think about your self-control and how that is part of your journey to holiness, and how in some areas you need to be separate from the world in order to work for holiness. And I like to think about how your life is focused around what God has called you to do. So this passage reminds us of how quickly the things that we built in this world disappear. At the time, they seem so important. Be it our jobs, our possessions, or whatever. But they're gone tomorrow, aren't they? But it's the word of God that stands. So where are you in terms of your focus on God and your life? How much are you following God's purposes? How much are you engaged with God? The really other important thing that I want to make the point about is that in our holiness, it's about our relationship with Jesus. It's about the intimacy of our relationship with God that enables us to be holy. We can't do it in our own strength, can we? We can struggle and try hard, but without the Holy Spirit, without a relationship with Jesus, we're going to struggle to get better. There's two people that I talked to yesterday from the team who went out who articulated how they were becoming holier through the work that they were doing. So specifically, one lady was saying, people kept on telling me I must read the Bible more. I didn't really get it, but I've just started reading the Bible. And actually, I know my behavior is getting better. I'm becoming more holy. So if we're to be holy, we have to work and invest on our relationship with Jesus every day. We have to be reading the Bible because that changes our behavior. That helps us be holy. We have to be asking the Holy Spirit to help us to be more holy. I felt God said to me, you know, you need to become one with me. You need to be looking at the world and looking at people around you as I look at the world, because you're so intimately close with me. So my second challenge to you is about your focus on God, your relationship with him. Are you integrated with Jesus in your life? Because that's the way that you're going to be able to become more holy. When we go out and talk to people, one of the things we say to them is, if you died tomorrow, how would you, where would you go? And are you certain that you would go to heaven? So there's two questions for you today. If you're not certain you would go to heaven, if you've claimed Jesus as your Lord, then you should be certain. And the second thing is, for those of us who are Christians, is are we ready to face that awesome holiness of God? Are we ready to stand in front of him? Because that's an awesome thing to think about, isn't it? Chapter 2 goes on to just say, not just say, but importantly say, therefore rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Crave pure spiritual milk. So we need to be craving our relationship with God. We need to be craving the time that we spend with other Christians. We need to be craving the Word of God. We need to be constantly taking that in if we are to be holy. And if we are to be holy, that is ridding ourselves of malice, of all deceit, of hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. And Nick challenged us at the APCM, and he said that since he'd said that he was retiring, he had noticed people saying things that perhaps weren't, they wouldn't have said before, and perhaps were not said in the greatest spirit of building us all up and working together, and he challenged us about our unity. So that is a challenge for all of us, isn't it? Our holiness together. We do need to be able to disagree well with each other and not take disagreement as personal. But that's a really difficult thing to do. So as we move forward, each day to day, as we interact with each other, we need to be holy. We need to remember these words about ridding ourselves of malice, all deceit, any hypocrisy, any envy, and any slander of every kind. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, the Lord is good, the Lord is good. And let us commit ourselves to striving to be more holy, knowing that God is holy and that through Jesus' sacrifice, he sees us as holy. And that's wonderful. That is wonderful. So don't let this be a burden. This is not a burden about being holy, because it's through God's Holy Spirit that we are enabled to be holy. It needs to be out of joy and out of the desire to share God's love with others and to share God's love with each other. We are truly blessed to be here this morning worshiping our great God who is so holy. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are holy. We thank you for sending Jesus as an example of true holiness. And Lord, we ask that you will send your Holy Spirit afresh upon each of us to fill us with your joy and inspire us to work to be more holy. Amen.